Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Rough Point of What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio. And tonight, we're going to give you a memory test. Here's what's really happening. Russia in the Ukraine, the United States imperialist power everywhere. And those of you who are regulars on this program, you know what we're about. You know this is a news analysis, an anatomy of oppression, which always requires an anatomy of colonialism, imperialism, capitalism, racism, and all the death camps that have developed to contain those who resist against these forces. So without further ado, we have quite a lineup tonight. We have someone whose analysis of colonialism has spanned the globe, and hopefully you will be hearing from this special guest. But I also want to welcome back our reporter on political prisoners this evening. Jericho is in the house, and it's good to have Sister Ann back. We missed her last week. So without further ado, Brother South Pointer, what's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. As Sister Betty has mentioned, what we're going to talk about tonight. Russia in the Ukraine, America everywhere, and this is a memory test. We're talking about chemical weapons, poison gas, indiscriminate bombing, shelling everywhere, displacement of people, human experimentation, starvation, missile crisis, and you think we're talking about Grenada, Vietnam, Cuba, Iraq, Iran, Haiti, Tulsa, Rosewood, Trail of Tears, Black Hills. Yes, we are. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about Ukraine when we mention these things, but the blitzkrieg of propaganda of the mass media would have you believe that Russia is the culprit. And you would believe that they have been successful, listening to the media and the names of the stars and the people who we are forced to look at and learn about every day. They are talking about and doing, raising funds for the Ukraine. And I say, in their actions, they are saying, never mind the Mississippi Delta, never mind Jackson, Mississippi, never mind Louisiana, never mind homelessness in New York City, never mind the people of color who created the capital in capitalism to begin with. Now, I could go on, but we have so many wonderful guests here to talk about what a situation we are in today. It's a very serious situation because the American masses have been bullied, have been lied, have been forced into believing nonsense, the continued nonsense about what America is, and they demonize the world when the basis for demons is European capitalism, imperialism, American capitalism, and imperialism. And we're going to talk about that this evening. And like I said, we have guests. And I would go on with this. We have guests who are going to do a wonderful job of education. And one of the things we always start off with when we talk of education, we talk about our late sister, Lynn Stewart, who loved poetry and used poetry to educate. And we have our wonderful in-house poet, Professor Louis, who educates at the same time. So I'm going to get off the air and allow you to hear the wonderful voices that we have on this program. And Sister Betty, I think we're going to open with Professor Louis. Get it started, Professor Louis, because this is some very important things we have to talk about this evening. Professor Louis, your microphone is open.
All right. Some got a lot and some got a little. Is there anybody left in the middle? Blame your brain till you solve the riddle. Why do some got a lot and some got a little? Anything worth anything comes from work. The earth grows food, but someone dug the dirt. Someone plants the seed you need to make it grow. Someone worked a row with a shovel and hoe. You build homes, roads, you teach kids. You won't get rich from the work you did, 'cause just three people in the USA own more than 160 million other people today. The 160 million could work day and night with all their might, but they will never see the sight of billions. Instead, they got to fight with millions of headaches, heartaches, bad breaks, and cornflakes. And the very richest keep getting more. And who opened the door for the space between rich and poor that keeps getting more for the last 40 years? When the smoke clears, who had no choice? Royce, who had the Rolls Royce, and just 1% at the top, in case you forgot, hold almost half the money. We all get what's left. That's kind of crummy and not too funny, and it's true. If you knew, you didn't think it through. The 99%, that's me and you, and with big money comes big power. Every hour when you shower money on politicians, sure enough, they huff and puff, but they go with the money when stuff gets rough, and the politician don't need a special message sent, because he himself is the 1%, and money in government makes the laws that cause the open doors for some to be on top and some to be forgot. And a lot of rich people are born that way. No matter what they say, they don't work for their pay. Some born with billions, living with ease. Some born with diddly squat, living with fleas. And it's cold. Some got millions at 3 years old, and we're told we're all equal. But we don't start out that way, and don't ignore that the law lets it all stay and pay money to the next generation and spoil rotten rich kids come in rotation. They run the nation. Corporations and billionaires snort cocaine while you clean the drain. They put money overseas like a disease nobody sees. It slips through the cracks. They don't send no facts and don't pay no tax. And who made the law and who didn't snitch? It's a sure enough bitch. You could go bankrupt and stay filthy rich. And we pay for the roads corporations use. We pay for the airports their airplanes choose. It gives you the blues and it's not news. But we pay the bailout when corporations lose. We pay to clean up all their pollution. There's no solution to the pollution that surrounds us, all around us. But when it gets you sick, you feel real, you find out real quick when the doctor gets paid. It's us who are made to blow the dough and not too slow, else you go coughing down the block. And the company that made you cough sells more stock. And by the way, most all the stock in the USA is owned by 1/10 of the people today. And if they buy and sell stock, they can clock millions in an hour. It's a really weird power, because buying and selling don't do nothing for no one. It's not fun. It don't shine in the sun. But buying and selling does nothing for no one. And we once found out we could do without queens and kings, now corporations and billionaires. Do we need these things? Check out this question appropriately. What have they done for you lately? So the system was already set with what we're going to get right from the jump. Are you a chump or are you a Trump? Are you rolling in dough or a regular Joe? And no muss, no fuss. The super, super rich do not like us, throw you under the bus, Gus, and they do not pause to make all the laws, all the rules to make us the fools. And it's in the air if you really dare to really care what's really fair. The world don't need even one billionaire, because some get a lot and some get a little. Is there anybody left in the middle? Blame your brain till you solve the riddle. Why do some get a lot and some get a little?
Well, thank you so much for that, Professor Louis. We have to ask ourselves that question if we haven't already asked ourselves that question. Sister Betty.
All right. Thank you again, Professor Louis. We want to honor the whole purpose of this program, which is to make people aware that in America we do have political prisoners. So we're going to ask Sister Ann. We know she has a lot to report. If she could just get the first part of her report so that we could get to our guests and then get the second part after our guests. Sister Ann, your mic is open. We've been hearing things about different political prisoners. And we know we've got three that are in crisis right now that we've got to get out right away. Give us your update.
Well, aside from the three that we have, some of our elder political prisoners who are definitely in crisis right now, and we have to get them out right away. We also have a younger political prisoner who is in crisis right now, who is currently on trial in Colorado after he was assaulted by a CO. So this young man's name is Eric King, and he was arrested and charged with an attempted firebombing of a government official's office in Kansas City, Missouri in September 2014. He was being charged with throwing a hammer through a window of a building, followed by two lit Molotov cocktails, which failed to ignite. On March 3, 2016, Eric accepted a non-cooperating plea agreement to one count of using, quote, explosive materials to commit arson of property used in or affecting interstate commerce, unquote. Then, almost 3 months later, on June 28, Eric King was sentenced to 10 years, the statutory maximum for the charge he pled guilty to. So his release date is 2023. Doesn't sound so horrible. Now, he's facing up to 20 more years in prison because he was assaulted by a CO. So after he was assaulted by the CO, this is what the trial is about. So he was taken into a supply cabin and attacked off camera in August of 2018 at FCI Florence. He was hard four-pointed for 5 hours. Now, I don't know if people know what four-point restraints are, but that's when you're put flat on your back with your arms stretched out up to the top corners of the bed and your feet stretched out to the bottom corners of the bed in shackles. And then he was in soft restraints for another two. So while he was hard four-pointed, the BOP staff had 3 hours, count them, 3 hours, off camera with him. And we have no idea what they might have been doing. He was forced to urinate on himself and was not given water, proper clothing, or a blanket. So he was basically bare-ass naked and probably freezing. So despite all this, in August of 19, the U.S. attorney charged Eric with assaulting a federal officer. He has been on communication restrictions for over a year and is unable to receive mail, although I think he currently can receive mail, and he can receive books. But he has also spent more than 1,000 days in SHU, right? So this trial started yesterday, and we got a brief recap. So if you want me to hold that for later, I can, or I can do it now, whichever you prefer.
Okay, you can give us that later, and you really read my mind. I was hoping you would, you know, give us a report on that. I saw Danny McGowan's email. I thank you, yeah. Ann. We'll have to get back to you because it's about doing something about it. As Sam Archer said, it will never change until we do something about it. Okay, right. Without further ado, Brother Ralph.
Yeah, well, we have our special treat for this morning. We have Chip. What?
Evening.
Oh. Good evening. It's been a rough day. We have a special guest this evening, Chairman Yeshitelli from the Black Is Back organization. He was the co-founder of the African People's Socialist Party and APSP. And without further ado, he has so much to say, and he says it so well. Chairman, your microphone is open, and give us your thoughts on what is happening today with NATO, Ukraine, Biden, and the rest. Thank you. Your microphone is open.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can you hear me well? I'm using this device. I'm not quite sure how effective it is in terms of...
Well, not effective is when you said thank you. It changed.
Okay, just 1 second.
Better.
So is it?
Okay.
Is
we
it
hear
better?
You.
Okay.
Okay,
so
we're
going
to go with it.
Listen, I really just want to express appreciation for having a couple of minutes to talk to you because there, as you mentioned earlier, in an opening presentation, the world is being bombarded with this war of ideas that's coming straight from the slave masters, from the colonizers, from the most vicious set of cruel entities that the world has ever known. And this relates to the question of Ukraine and Russia. And some people have been able, Comrade Ralph, to recognize this relationship of the 2014 CIA-inspired or initiated and led coup in Ukraine as being a crucial event that contributes to this defensive war that Russia is fighting in Ukraine. The fact is that that the Ukrainian government was an attempt at seduction prior to 2014 to bring the Ukrainian government closer to the embrace of the United States, of the European Union and NATO, and and away from Russia. This was a stated objective. And when that failed, and the president of Ukraine refused to come with the European Union and NATO, and instead moved closer to Russia, CIA led or inspired, or certainly initiated, a coup happened and chased the president out of the country. And that's the thing that threw this this motley crew of Nazis into power in Ukraine right now. And so since 2014, from that coup, something like 13 to 15,000 people have been killed in western Ukraine, right next to the eastern border. Ukraine is right on the border of Russia. And these are Russian-speaking people, ethnic Russians, who were immediately attacked. But that was important. In 2014, that coup was important. But I think the event that's most significant to understanding this war was the invasion of Russia following the 1917 revolution, a socialist revolution. A socialist state came into existence in 1917. And when that happened, all of the colonial powers of the world, including the United States, invaded Russia with the objective of crushing Russia, because it was a government of socialists that was attempting to put the workers and oppressed peoples of the world into power and to overturn the system that people had come to know as capitalism. So this invasion of Russia by the colonial powers was an invasion to protect the colonial mode of production that was begun 600 years ago with the attack on Africa. And this is the base for the political economy that came into existence, that the whole foundation of capitalism rests on this, the theft of resources from Africa, from colonized peoples around the world. And what became Soviet Russia was one of the forces that threatened to overturn, that to upset the apple cart, that all of these reactionary white nationalists had put in place in order to crush the workers of the world. So that was the basis of the United invasion of Russia that happened in 1918. And then there was an ongoing economic quarantine by all of the colonial powers, and that was intended to break the back of the Soviet state, or Soviet Russia, as they used to call it. And that this is also the basis for the creation in 1949 of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization that's called NATO, was created explicitly for the purpose of containing and crushing what was called Soviet Russia. And so you have this existing world order that since 1949 by the international colonialist bloc known as the Atlanticists, it achieved its current political and economic anti-Russia configuration during this period of the 1940s. In the 1980s, the United States government, under the regime of James Earl Carter, who white liberals like to refer to as the last good president, nice president, honest president, under his leadership, with the assistance of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was his national security advisor, they drew the Soviet Union into a military conflict in Afghanistan to overthrow its government, because that government also was allied with Soviet Russia, and this overthrowing of that government in Afghanistan allowed them to, their intent was to extend NATO's border even closer to being able to circle the Soviet Russia. So then there's been like a host of these things that they call color revolutions, and related struggles. They were aided by opportunism, desire by many of the countries that had been part of the Soviet Union and others to join in the whole colonial blood-sucking process that had come into existence, to leave Russia, which had been economically isolated, quarantined, could not participate effectively in the whole capitalist colonialist capitalist system. And so the objective was to quarantine Russia, to economic quarantine. And they did. Their objective was to bleed Russia, to make it fail, to crush the Russian state so that working people of the world would lose any notion of ever trying to come to power, to crush it as an example for colonized and working people around the world. That was the objective. And so they starved it to some extent. You had all of these white people, all of these countries surrounding that were part of the Soviet bloc that wanted to be able to join the rest of the white people and have what has been come to, what people have come to understand as the Western way of life, the white way of life, white standards of living is what they were fighting for. And so this contributed to this host of so-called color revolutions that occurred. So since 1991, the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the United States has continued to work to contain Russia. And according to some sources, we've seen that since the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, the NATO military alliance, as they called it, has extended its borders 800 miles to the east, incorporating now Poland, Hungary, Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Croatia, Montenegro, and North Macedonia. And then in 2021, NATO officially recognized Ukraine itself as an aspiring member, and Sweden and Finland are also considering joining the anti-Russia alliance. So this is what they've been doing. And so now they're right next to Russia's border, to the border. They've killed 13,000 people. They're refusing to allow the people, Russian-speaking ethnics, to speak their own languages and what have you. And this mob of reactionary forces, fascists, that contaminates the entire military of Ukraine, functions as a forward post for U.S. imperialism. 30 different countries part of this military apparatus that they call NATO. It is an organization of 30 different countries that use. Through Ukraine has initiated this offensive against Russia, putting it in an existential crisis, Russia. So whether Russia was going to be able to survive or not. And this is what's been happening. And so people are talking about how the poor creations and heroic Zelensky and all these forces were for years now, since 2014, the U.S. and other forces have been pumping all kinds of monies, weapons, and not just the United States. These are various entities that's associated with NATO, England, France, and the rest of them pumping all kinds of resources, and they have troops now, special op troops among those forces, Ukraine, right now, initiating this fight against Russia. So Russia had no choice. It is a defensive war, and I think it's really important for us to understand that, and it's important to understand also that this war was begun 105 years ago with the success of the socialist revolution in Russia that threatened to overturn this whole system of bosses and colonizers or dominating the world, dominating Africa, dominating black people and other oppressed people around the world. And so when you see this movement toward Russia even today, it is an attempt to make sure that Russia, who came into modernity differently from the rest of Europe, most of Europe came into modernity, what would be considered modernity, into capitalism, if you will, from feudalism. It came out of feudalism, and it was the colonialism, the colonial mode of production, slavery, colonial resources that gave them the strength that allowed them to be what they are today. That factors into the psychology. It factors, of course, into the wealth that they have that's different from Russia and different, and it's a parasitic kind of relationship that they've imposed on the rest of us. But Russia did not come into modernity in that way. Russia came into modernity as a revolutionary state, and it came into modernity through revolution that was making sure that this capitalist mode of production, colonial mode of production, did not come into Russia. And so what you have today is that Russia was able to develop independently of that. Of course, you had the overturn, the collapse of the Soviet Union. So make no mistake about it, Russia today is not a communist, not a socialist state. And in many ways, you can't consider it revolutionary, but it is revolutionary to the point, to the extent that it factors as a part of the objective crisis for a system that attempted to pull Russia into it, like tried to pull China into it, so that it too would follow the leadership, the dictates of NATO forces of the United States in particular, and Russia and Putin push back against that, and therefore they go in their own way, seeking their own solutions to Russian interests and what have you, even if these are nationalist interests as opposed to what we might consider to be revolutionary communist interests. Russia is going its own way, and that means it's blocking the process of the colonizers, of this whole Atlanticist group that dominates the world through colonialism. And this is a crisis, of course, that's getting deeper and deeper every day. I want to say this too, Comrade Ralph, that part of the need for this war against Russia by the United States in particular was to try and reunite under the leadership of the United States this crisis-driven, crisis-ridden coalition of white power countries that had begun to start looking, going their own ways because they were perceiving the United States to be too weak to be able to look out for their interests. And so they were, some of them were even going into relationships with Russia. As you know, Germany and the gas pipeline was something, and much of Europe required energy from Russia. This was a problem. The Biden administration was opposed to it, tried to stop it. In fact, it was the Biden administration that stood up and said, this is not going to happen. Before the Germans even agreed to it, the Biden administration said that they were not going to be getting their energy from Russia. And so people were looking for their own solutions. People, Russians, as you know, stood with Syria when the United States was fomenting a whole process to overturn the government there, and has actually engineered a process that's taken part of Syrian territory. And it's occupied by reactionaries and forces aligned with the United States, et cetera. So Russia has been on its own agenda, and it's an agenda that has conflicted with what the United States was trying to do, and that made it a problem also. Then these are some of the things that we're looking at. And the other thing domestically is that the Biden poll numbers were going through the basement, and he was being perceived as not being strong, as not being somebody who was coherent, who could hold everything together. And now this war gives him an opportunity to pull the country together. It's like what Clinton did with Lewinsky at the time. At the time Lewinsky impeachment trial was going, Clinton attacked Sue Dunn, claiming that there was some kind of a weapons factory there that they were attacking, which it was actually a pharmaceutical factory that was creating medicines and for children. And so Clinton attacked Sudan to rally the white folks, the Americans, around him. And this is part of what Biden is attempting to do also. So you see all this fervor, all of this love for freedom, what have you, that's outpouring, coming from Biden, coming from France, coming from Germany, coming from all of these colonial powers. And at the same time they're doing that, you got France that occupies something like 14 different states and countries in Africa. You got the United States dominating much of the world, killing people in Yemen right now. You got the United States having as an ally Saudi Arabia that actually butchered in Turkey in its embassy, cut somebody up. And this is something that the Turkish government has recordings of, and they know it's the case. And so all of this nonsense that's being pumped out of the Biden administration and out of the organs of out of the media organs of the colonial powers of the world is just that nonsense. And so I'm convinced that we have to stand with Russia in this context, because Russia, for whatever, independent of the consciousness of Putin or anyone like that, Russia is a force that is disrupting the colonial equilibrium, equilibrium of the colonial mode of production that's dominating our lives and the lives of most of the people on the planet Earth. So I know I said a lot, but I was trying to get out as much as I could, as quickly as I could, not, recognizing that you have, you know, time issues that you have to deal with.
Well, thank you so much for that, Chairman. We really appreciate you taking the time to be on the program. And I'd like to sum up. It is not a done deal. 34 nations abstained, did not support the United States in the United Nations vote opposing Russia. 34 nations. It goes
about
deep.
Half of the countries in Africa, about half, or nearly half, refused to condemn Russia as well.
And the reason for that is, in the struggle for freedom from colonial power, it began back when Italy was in Abyssinia. Russian volunteers were in Ethiopia fighting against European colonialism. And then we can carry that on to the African countries, South Africa, Zimbabwe, etc. They all fought against imperialism with the help of Russia. And so when we rush to judgment in America, when we have been bamboozled, as I say, blitzkrieg, bullied into supporting Ukraine, there are people with a memory. And such as Cuba have a memory of who the enemy is.
North Korea, Vietnam,
when I was going to conclude with this, when we have Mr. Zelensky addressing the joint meeting of Congress in America, I expect it to be the same as when LBJ had addressed the joint session of Congress when he said he would bomb Vietnam into the Stone Age, and then to do so, but the Congress of the United States stood and cheered. And to me, this, if you look at history, this is including slavery, the killing of the indigenous people here, the assault on Vietnam stands as number one in that they poisoned the very earth itself. Nothing will grow in parts of Vietnam for a thousand years. And people call themselves Christians, and they watched America destroy God's earth. If you are a Christian, you must believe that. And they cheered. And so we may see a repeat, and I'm hoping to see a repeat of the situation in Vietnam. The Vietnamese people took their country, and they're keeping the resources for Vietnam. Vietnamese resources for the Vietnamese. And we hope to see liberation struggles throughout the world. And when I think of the Congo and the whole list of countries that the USSR and the socialists supported against imperialists, the robbing of their country, and we in America must stop and think when we get bulldozed into thoughts such as attacking Russia. What is continuing when we talk about the Green Revolution, the materials necessary for your cell phones and for so much of what we enjoy comes out of slave labor in Africa, child labor in the mines, getting these resources. And so there's much to think about, and I could go on, but I'm going to stop there and ask Chairman, is there anything else you would like to add to what you have stated?
I just want to say, Kermit Ralph, that's really important what you said. Remember, the CIA poisoned Paul Robeson while he was in Moscow. And I'm mentioning Paul Robeson because he was well received by the Russians while he was being threatened in the United States with prison, his career ruined in the United States. And as I mentioned, he was poisoned in Moscow so that he actually had some kind of psychotic thing that they put into his drink when he was in a party or a reception in Moscow. And I would tell you that I have been to Moscow, and I have been to this magnificent kind of subway they have there, most beautiful thing you ever want to see. And I've listened because on the radio, on the sound system, rather, that they have there, there's music played, and then there's this extraordinary song, the International, by Paul Robeson, that's in Russian. He's singing it in Russian. You can't find anything like that in the United States. I've been to the place, the location where the Patrice Lumumba Institute was there, that was in Russia, where they were training revolutionaries. It was a place where revolutionaries were trained in Russia. The United States participated in killing Lumumba, but the Russians had embraced Lumumba. And I have been to the square of Alexander Pushkin, the most noted literary figure in Russian history, a black man. And you can't find that in the United States. So I'm just saying that there's a whole different situation in the United States, and the picture that's being painted by the United States and its allies and minions about Russia, it's a false picture. And historically, we have understood in this community, if the white man was for something, we had to be against it. If the United States was for something, we had to be against it. We get the details later, but we know something was wrong with it if the United States is supporting it. And this murder, this grotesque, brutal murder that the United States is inflicting on the people of Ukraine by using Ukraine as a forward military entity to attack Russia to try and overturn the existing government in Russia. I mean, this is just a very brutal kind of thing, and we have to be opposed to it. And this is U.S. imperialism. This is no just some innocent Ukrainians versus a mighty, powerful, and cruel Russia. Russia is fighting for its very existence, and it has been since 1917 revolution. And I think it's really important for us to understand that. And certainly we in the African People's Socialist Party, we united with Russia. And the other thing is that we've had Russians, I will be having a Russia a guest on my study on this coming Sunday. We had a guest last Sunday, somebody who's in Moscow, somebody who is able to refute the stories that they're telling. I have been to Russia. I've been to Russia at the invitation of the anti-globalization organization in Russia that brought together peoples from all around the world. This was in 2015. Who were opposed to colonialism. This is people who had this conference who were struggling for self-determination. Russia provided that opportunity, and not the United States, and not France, and not England, and not any of these other forces that's in the process now of trying to destroy Russia. So I say that our responsibility, Ralph, as Africans, is to yeah, protest. Yeah, stand with Russia, but also our responsibility is to be free, become a self-governing people, to make the revolution for the liberation of African people in this country and around the world. That's the thing that we have to take on, and that's what I'm about. That's what the African People's Socialist Party is about, and I want you to consider that the one of the most glaring problems in understanding the history of the world, and certainly with the advent of what they call capitalism, is the recognition of the mode of production, a colonial mode of production, that the entire world is enveloped by this colonial mode of production. Everything that we look at has its origin in colonial slavery, colonialism that dominates the whole world to the benefit of a handful of people, not just individuals, as I think it was it Louis, the poet, not just those individuals, but we're talking about countries, entire countries that owe their existence to sucking resources, human and material, from dominated and colonized peoples around the world, Africa, throughout the Americas, every place you're looking at. And the reason this country is engaged right now in permanent warfare is because the peoples of the world have taken back our resources, whether it's in Venezuela, Syria, Afghanistan, and the rest of it. People refuse to live under the boot of white power any longer. So I wanted to say that and to thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to share these airwaves with you.
Freedom, Uhuru. Thank you for that.
Uhuru.
And as we have
Uhuru.
Said all along, United States forced Russia and Putin to fight back. It never would have happened
Indeed.
If the United States, although they were warned by some of their fellow governments in Europe to say, don't do it. But they did it in Yugoslavia with the Croatians. They're doing
That's
it
right.
again in spite of the advice given. And I say to Americans, for their own self-interest, never mind the cheerleading as opposed to analysis by the corporate media, because this situation may have a reversal in it that will lead to the downgrading of the U.S. economy. It may be, and it looks like it's building up to being a bridge too far. They
Indeed.
Went too far, and we see that there are other large countries, that's in Brazil, China, India, etc., forming South Africa, forming their own economic alliance. And
right.
what does that say for America? So don't believe in Sean Penn and all of those raising funds for the Ukraine.
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't raise funds for the homeless, the veterans, the mothers and fathers in New York City. Wonder why there's not...
The political prisoners rotting in jails and prisons in this country. Yeah.
So we must ask ourselves these questions. I think we've begun a discussion. I think we took too much time. And thank you so much for that, Chairman, that we hope that this is a program not only of freedom but education so that we will work towards freedom. And having said that, I have to say thank you again, Chairman O'Malley Yashasali, of the co-founder of the African People's Socialist Party and Black is Black Coalition, all of those good things that bring freedom to people of color. And there is also a contingent of people without color who understand the justice of the movement and are supporting that movement. I will not go on. I turn it over to Sister Betty to forward the program.
Well,
Uhuru,
Chairman,
thank you. Uhuru, comrade.
Shared your thoughts with us tonight. We're going to give people a chance to respond. But before we do that, we want to echo a campaign that one of our socialist people in New York has, I think it was Sarah Flounders and UNAC, who say, you must not fight the wars abroad because we've got wars at home. So we're opposed to the wars abroad, and we're opposed to the wars at home. And one of the wars at home is the systematic dismantling of the, what would you call it, the social welfare state, for want of a better term. The corporations are totally stripping us of all the gains that we fought for in the 60s. And this is another reason why our political prisoners remain in jail. If you look at the 10-point power points of the Black Panther Party, and then you look at all the systemic ways they are defunding. In New York City, they're talking about privatizing what we call projects, NYCHA housing. And one of the reasons we had to have the federal government step in is because it was a holocaust to live in the dilapidated housing in New York. People were constantly being burnt up and killed by fires. Well, now they're going back to privatizing the projects in New York City as if we don't have enough homeless. So it's a war on the poor. The next one is the public education system. Due to attrition in New York City, the security officers, i.e. the police in our schools, numbers us down. Well, the new mayor, the black face on imperialism, has decided not only is he going to replace those numbers, but he's going to increase those numbers. So once again, we have the army of occupation getting ready to take our public school system, what's left of it. So we definitely don't have time to be giving any funds to the Ukraine when we need funds to fight the war of poverty, to fight the war of health, to fight the war of education in this country. And I thank you so much for making it clear that we have always been the modes of production. In New York City recently, a group of black and brown teachers won one of the largest cases against the city of New York in its history because they were all fired and then told if they wanted to come back without pensions and at a minimum salary, they could get their jobs back because they allegedly failed the national teacher's exam, which is proven to be racist. They won this, but what's so sinister about when it happened? It happened at a time when New York City had a budget crisis. And Chairman, I know you will have no problems in believing me when I say the amount of money New York City saved by taking their pensions and lowering their salaries at that time exactly fit the budget crisis that New York City had at that time. So we are always the modes of production. Do I make sense to you, Chairman?
Splendid. Yeah, you're right on time, Sister Betty. And I think that understanding that colonialism as a mode of production puts everything in context, and that's splendid. That's just one of the great examples that we can have. Yes, it makes sense.
So we need to fight the wars at home. We need to take back our schools. We need to take back our health system that we don't have. And we definitely need to free our political prisoners. And as someone who has been in the leadership to organize an incredible petition, which is close to 10,000 signatures, we salute the Black is Back Coalition, which is a combination of 18 different organizations who have the same agenda. We want freedom, and we want it now.
That was the petitioners, our political prisoners, and there are social prisoners, prisoners of this political system who are rotting in jail coming out of the war, the so-called war on drugs. It was never a war on drugs. All you have to do is look at the opioid situation. It was a masking of the war on us, and it ended up being free labor in the prisons. So slavery has been continued in the prisons, and I realize that I have gone on too long, but there's so much to talk about. So, Sister Betty, take
us Chairman, forward. Before you leave, do you want to make an announcement and extend an invitation? I believe you have a conference that's coming up, a webinar that's coming up soon. If you make your announcement before, who wants the next speaker?
Well, thank you. Just everybody can go to APSPUHURU.org, APSPUHURU.org, and you can get information. We have, as I mentioned earlier, someone from Russia who will be with us on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be interviewing him. He'll be talking about what Russia is doing and how Russia is experiencing this entire attack on it by the different countries constituting this organization that's called the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. I want to thank you, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph, and not just for this meeting, but for the incredible work that you do on every front. I know that you're out there in the trenches, and that makes the difference on people who simply have good ideas and who simply are talking heads. The fact is that you've been in the trenches for a long time, and I really appreciate you, and I think everybody who knows you also share that. And I also appreciate being able to celebrate Comrade Lynn Stewart as well. Thank you so much, and thank your listeners. Uhuru.
Uhuru, freedom, if anybody doesn't know what that means. Thank you again, Sister Betty.
All right. We've got a lot of people on the call, and we apologize for the length of the opening of conversation, but we felt we have to make it clear. As the song says, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? We're going to go to Brother Henry, then we're going to go to Sister Ann, and we have someone that's waiting in the wings. We've got a campaign going against mayoral control of education in New York City, and we've got an ally who wants to give us our marching orders. There's a protest tomorrow. Sister Ann will tell you about it. We are not happy with the mayor's budget, and we want to let him know it. And several organizations are coming together to man and woman up that struggle. Brother Henry, your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph and Brother Yeshatella. I'd like to share with the audience tonight three articles in this week's Black Agenda Report. First one is by Rhoda Reddick, and she focuses on the history of the women's movement in the United States and around the world. But she also includes the participation of women from the Caribbean to expand that organization or that movement to include people who have been ignored or marginalized. And it's in this week's Black Agenda Report, March 2nd through the 9th. And I think it's worthwhile for people to investigate it because it reflects the interests, the common interests of the working class itself and the effort to humanize and empower women of color and also women who are of European descent, et cetera. Secondly, I'd like to refer people to an article written by Gerald A. Pereira, who is the chairperson of the Organization of the Victory of the People and member of the Caribbean Pan-African Network, and they're located in Guyana. But he wrote an article, Ukraine Getting It Right, a revolutionary Pan-African perspective about the crisis in Ukraine. And then finally, I like to refer to people refer folks to the article written by Ajamu Baraka, and he has tremendous insight into the crisis in Ukraine, and he talks about the need for people to become aware of the fact that the United States is instigating this atrocity. And it's in an article entitled Musings from the Margins. And he ends with the following comment that I think is significant. He says that there are a number of nations that can talk about war crimes and crimes against humanity that nations commit. But the one nation that should absolutely never be allowed to utter a word about war crimes committed by another nation is the United States. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, thank you so much for that, Brother Higgins. As we say, this program is about education, education, education. And remember, the program is archived, and if you miss some of it, and some of the things we refer to, you can just dial it up on your cell phone or your computer. Sister Betty.
Thank you, Brother Henry, and thank you for understanding and leaving space for other people to speak. Sister Audrey Dennis, your mic is open. This is our reporter on the anti-mayoral control campaign in New York City. Sister Dennis, thank you for being patient with us. Your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Betty. Good evening to you and Brother Ralph. And yes, we thank you so much for all that you are sharing and to let us keep on fighting for freedom. So all the others who have spoken, I really enjoyed learning all that you are sharing with us. Thank you. So I just want to first say that I am a UNIA member, Universal Negro Improvement Association member, a Garveyite, and a Student Improvement Association under that umbrella last year came together to fight to gain control of the community school districts. And now I am a member of the New York City Coalition to finally end mayoral control. This Saturday, March 19th, we are going to join up with the Parents to Improve School Transportation to rally across the Brooklyn Bridge to call attention to ending mayoral control and fighting for all students who need transportation, the disabled students as well as the able-bodied students, that we need to have these students get the right transportation to take them to and fro school. And so I just want to also point out why we need to alert the community to what the mayor is doing. We are living in a city with the tale of two cities. And what got my attention is that this is reminding me of Jim Crow, where we have two sets of rules. You have the black people who were using the fountain outside while the white people were using a different fountain. So it's like you go in the back door while the others go in the front door. And I saw where Kevin Durant this yesterday, or it was today, he called attention to the mayor for not allowing Kyrie Irving to play in the basketball game, while he could go now and sit in the stands with the fellow patrons. And I noticed that the people in the audience were not socially distancing. Only one person I see up front wearing a mask. They were very close. Also, those people in the restaurants, they don't have to wear masks. They don't have to be vaccinated. But the mayor is having a separate rule for those in the classroom and who are in the teachers who are teaching the students that they must be vaccinated. Now, why is this mayor, a black mayor who looks like me, causing this chaos? Who went to Ghana? And if he didn't learn anything, he should have known. You don't treat people in this way because your ancestors suffered tremendously. And so I'm calling attention for us to meet at the Cadman Plaza to rally across the Brooklyn Bridge to call an end to mayoral control. Because obviously this mayor, he has too much on his hands, and he doesn't know how to run and control this city. I thank you, Sister Betty, and thank you, Brother Ralph, for giving me this time to speak.
Thank you so much for that. And as I said, this is a program of activists. We call for action, and we need much, much, much more of it. And we're going to talk about the education system at a later date because there is so much to say about what's happening and what is not happening, Sister Betty.
All right, Sister Ann, thank you for waiting so patiently. Your mic is open. You were going to give us some marching orders on how to help Comrade King, and of course we want to hear what we can do to support Matula, Sundiata, and Mamiya. Thank you.
All right, sounds like a plan. All right, back to Eric King. I didn't get a recap from his trial today. I do have a recap from his trial yesterday. So as I said before, he's facing an additional possible 20 more years in prison because he was assaulted by this correctional officer who then claimed in the usual way that, you know,
and
he was assaulted by the prisoner. Yes?
Just give us our marching orders. Tell people who to call and write for because they can get the background story from your website. But right now, because of a shorter time, we want everybody to know who to call for these different political prisoners, and we have to take specific action quickly for Brother King. I believe I read it on your website. They want us to make a phone call, don't they?
Well, you can call in so you can actually listen to the court. And the public access phone number is 877-336-1828. That's 877-336-1828. And then you have to enter the access code, which is 944-9909 hashtag. 944-9909 hashtag. And people are also asking to donate to the Civil Liberties Defense Center, which is representing Eric pro bono. Now, for Matulu and Sundiata, you can certainly go to jerichony.org. All the information is there if you haven't already signed the petitions to Governor Murphy and to President Biden for Matulu and Governor Murphy for Sundiata. Please do so. Share with all family and friends. Have everybody else do so. I'm sure we will be mobilizing for Mumia April 23rd, I believe. His birthday is April 24th. We always have a major mob in Philly for that. So people check out the website, jerichony.org, or to jerichomovement.com. And Eric's website is supporterickking.org. Which I'm going to put a little thing there right now on jerichony.org so people can find that. The trial should be going on for at least a week. So that number I gave you with the access code is people can actually call in and listen because we probably don't have a whole bunch of people who are in Denver, Colorado, who are able to attend. So
and
the code is able to do that.
New York Jericho is doing something. You want to bring people up to date of what to anticipate from New York City Jericho.
Oh, well, in addition to, you know, our usual writing to prisoners and sending food packages and so on and so forth, on April 30th, so there's time, But on April 30th, we are going to have a Poetry for Political Prisoners event at the People's Forum. That's a Saturday, and that will be from 3 to 5 p.m. So we'll be working on that in addition to our regular Thursday, every other Thursday meetings. We have one this Thursday. So if anybody's interested, you can always email us at nycjericho@gmail.com, and please let us know any way you want to help, you want to get involved. We can send you information. We can ask you to come to a meeting. We can talk to you on the phone, whatever you prefer, because we must free our political prisoners. That is our goal.
Well, thank you so much for that, Ann. And as people of various religions have a good book, I have a good book, too. And my good book is the Jericho website. Please read it, my brothers and sisters. A lot of information, and it will not only do yourself good, but it will do those who gave everything for the rest of us. Thank you. Jericho website.
And please keep April 30th on your calendar. It is important that we show strength and support those who support us. When you support us in New York City, Jericho, we've got to increase our numbers. We've got to bring in more power to help fight to get these brothers out, to free these sisters who are struggling, and the new political prisoners out of here. And Sister Ann has done it. I mean, she has made sure that our political prisoners had fresh vegetables and fresh food. She has made sure that they had something in their commissary. That is the role that she, leadership role she plays in Jericho. We need the rest of us to step up to the plate and keep this work going. Thank you, Sister Ann.
Thank you.
We miss you.
I just want to say tomorrow at 11, if people have time, there's a People's State of the City rally, which is a response to the mayor's State of the Rizzi, you know, State of the City. And this rally is being hosted by the People's Plan and will include the release of a multi-issue version for the city and a budget response to the mayor's preliminary budget. So that's at 52 Chambers Street tomorrow at 11 a.m., folk, which is the Tweed Courthouse, as they call it. People's State of the City rally should be really interesting and good. All kinds of issues that need to be addressed will be addressed right there.
Thank you, Ann.
Education, et cetera. Yes. I wish I could go myself, but...
I know. We're tied to what we do to make money to support the prisons, which is our job. We're going to say move on now, and we thank you. We're going to open up a couple of mics of people to give you a few moments to make a comment if you want to. The last four digits are 3558. Did you want to make a comment? 3558. First digits 917. 3558. Did you want to make a short comment?
Are you asking me?
Yes. Did you want to make a brief comment on what you heard tonight?
I wanted to add, actually, to what Ann was saying, to also go to Jericho for the committee to free Kamau Siddiqui.
Oh, please do. Ma'am.
I didn't actually have my hand up. This is Toby Emmer. Glad to be here. But I wanted to add that the committees to free Kamau Siddiqui and to free the Imam Al-Amin, the former HREF Brown, are also needing support and have information on Jericho website. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Call in anytime. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
All right. We really appreciate that. We see another call. The last four digits, 3036. Did you want to make a comment?
Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, I wanted to say I enjoy y'all's show, and I'm also in supporting the people of medical and making sure everybody's safe, supporting the communities, also supporting the prisoners and everyone, you know. But I'm also a person that's very spiritual, very close to the ancestors. And I'm in the new Black Panther Party. I'm a very powerful sister. I love y'all's show, and I be on it every week. So also I wanted to tell you about there are three tests about that virus where CDC have passed that they calling a recall on three of them. So I wanted to let y'all know about that. And I'll say Black Power, Uhuru, and Vanguard Up.
Thank you so much for that. That's the energy we need to continue. Sister Betty.
All right. 6704, if you wanted to make a comment, the first three digits are 740. The last four digits, 6704. Did you want to make a comment?
Yes, I'll make a quick comment. First of all, Professor Louis' poem was exceptional tonight. Jim and Yeshiteli, he broke it down the way he always does. We need to listen to that, understand that, and apply it to our actions. Your show is always as great, and all I can say is free them all.
That's the call, free them all. Thank you so much for that.
All right. We appreciate you. If there's any particular political prisoner you want to pull our coattails about, always feel free to let us know. Thank you so much. Okay. We're going to go to Dennis. I think he's on, and we can't not have words from Brother Dennis. 6-7-4.
Uhuru, everyone. First, I want to mention that there's a Black Women's Convention by ANWO, African National Women's Organization. It'll be March the 25th, which will be on Friday through Sunday the 27th. And you can register at convention.anwo, that's A-N-W-O, Uhuru, U-H-U-R-U.org. That's convention.anwouhuru.org. I want to mention that. So go in and sign in and register. We look forward to everybody attending. It will prove to be very powerful with the Black Women's Convention. I want to say that I had a slight, how could I put it, disunity earlier with Russia, and I find myself to have been wrong, because America is assaulting Russia, along with NATO, as the chairman pointed out, as well as other countries. You talk about Belgium and Sweden and these other European countries. But I do also recall that Russia did help revolutionaries all across the board, Cuba, even help Black African revolutionaries. So I was very wrong in my criticism of Russia. I want to say that to the chairman. Secondly, I want everybody to understand that billions of dollars are going to Ukraine, and we all know that. Why are they sending the dollars to Ukraine when they have yet to discuss the war crimes that they have committed against Africans unilaterally for centuries? They're not looking to make us whole. This is not their edict. Their edict is to keep Europe and United States as one. They have an exit for us, and we're in a war. Now I'm going to read this point 14 of the platform from the African People's Socialist Party. We want the total liberation and unification of Africa under an all-African socialist government. We believe that the total liberation and unification of Africa under an all-African socialist government must be the primary objective of all Black revolutionaries throughout the world. It is an objective which, when achieved, will bring about the fulfillment of the aspirations of Africans and people of African descent wherever or everywhere. It will, at the same time, advance the triumph of the international socialist revolution and the onward progress toward communism, under which every society is ordered on the principle of from each according to his or her ability to each according to his or her own needs. That was Kwame Nkrumah. I say this, that we must unite. It's just like the wars you have going on with the disenfranchisements of schools, the disenfranchisements of certifications that you've spoken on weeks ago, and also the lynching that's going on in these prisons. We must unite. And I think that we could do this as a construct together. And again, I want to humbly apologize to the chairman for my basic outburst because of my misconception about Russia. And I want to thank you for having me on that. I thought I'd make this a public announcement. I want to say uhuru.
Uhuru, and thank you, sir, because very seldom do we admit to our mistakes. That is a very important thing to have in yourself, to be able to say, I was wrong. I have to say it. We all have to say it. We all must learn to be more liberal in saying it. Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty.
I really appreciate you so much, Brother Dennis, for that. You know, I just can't say. It takes a big person to admit that they're wrong and to do it publicly. Really appreciate that. Brother Tom, if you can give us a few words of wisdom. You're not too tired, Brother Tom.
Well, I'm going to have to interrupt there to say I made a terrible mistake tonight. I was talking about oppression of nations and oppression of people, and I did not include Haiti. And they were so powerful in their struggle that the first three American presidents, after they left the presidency, spent their own private personal money to support the imperialists in Haiti. And so this is how much they, while they were talking about freedom and democracy, they were spending their money to suppress the freedom of the Haitian people. And the Haitian people are still under the fist, the boot of America, Canada, France. We must do something about that. And so I made a mistake.
And
I apologize.
And let's not forget, Brother Ralph, there's a Haitian workers' struggle going on right now to improve their wages. Brother Daoud Andre told us this last week or week before last. Brother Tom, your mic is open.
Thank you very much, my sisters and brothers. I'm going to make a confession that I don't usually make because most people would consider me very dangerous, and that is that I never got vaccinated. I have become a vegetarian and buy mostly organic food. Although I have never taken the intravenous vitamin C, I do take huge doses of vitamin C. And when I get tested, I always test negative. And I've been told that I have antibodies that give me a natural immunity. Although seldom admitted in the mass media, those who get fully vaccinated and receive boosters can still get COVID-19 and infect others. Former President Obama, who I assume got all the vaccinations and boosters, just tested positive. Until recently, we have been told that those that are unvaccinated could not eat in restaurants. We could not go to movies or Broadway plays or to museums or to sports events. Now, it has been announced that the virus is completely under control and restrictions have been lifted. And now we can go anywhere we want. Yet, the CDC, the FDA, and the local health officials are urging everyone to continue getting vaccinated and boosters. I believe that this whole so-called pandemic has been exaggerated or even a hoax to keep people confused and fearful, thereby diverting attention from the real problems that we have of climate change and never-ending wars and the decay of a sick capitalism. And there are some who believe that this pandemic was a hoax. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that, Tom Syracuse. I, for one, believe that it was the result of an experiment. As we know, America has been involved in biological warfare for a long time. This is how I see it, an experiment of biological warfare that got out of control. Now, there are many beliefs, but there are close to 1 million people in America died, whether they died or whatever it was that they died of. Now, many people, when the pandemic started, were in the communities of color. It could have been because we don't have proper nutrition, housing, etc. But I know so many people of color passed due to something, call it what you will. But thanks for your contribution, and we will continue looking at this situation and all of the situations that we're faced with. Sister Betty.
All right, I'm going to open up a few mics because we have a few more minutes before we close. Sister Ann, did you want to give us any more announcements with regard to upcoming trials of political prisoners, or did you want to reinforce a point that you made before?
Well, we will have an upcoming event for Kamal Siddiqui, since Toby did mention Kamal there. It's called Women Gather Words, and that will be on Saturday, March 26th from, I believe, 3 to 5 p.m. It's a virtual event. You're going to have some short videos of people giving little, salutes to Kamal, and it's organized by women for Kamal, and we will be telling people and showing people how to write letters to political prisoners if they are not used to doing that. So that will be important and should be an excellent event. And looking forward to it. And to find out more about Kamal, you can either go to freekamalsiddiqui.com, which is his direct website, or go to the Linktree. That's linktree.com/freekamalsiddiqui, and it's tr.ee. So that would be really good. And I will be posting this event, Women Gather Words, a virtual letter writing workshop for the whole community. And we hope that people will attend. It's hosted by Women for Kamal Siddiqui. And I'm sure that Kasuse will be there to talk about her dad, which is always excellent, as you know. So we'll look forward to seeing folk at that event. And I am busy posting. I just got the day 2 update on Eric King's trial. Can you believe the BOP went into his cell while he was in court and took away all his legal papers? Yes. And the lawyer was asking for an evidentiary hearing about this and was told, no, we're not going to have an evidentiary hearing. And all of a sudden, they're also moving him from FCI Englewood to FDC Englewood. So they're moving him to another prison, which the judge had originally said he was not going to allow happen. So, yeah, I just got the news after I was talking earlier that they went into not his cell at the prison, probably his cell at the court, where he had all his legal documents and everything, and who knows how long they, might have been looking at them and what they might have done to it, right? So, pretty alarming stuff.
Well, so much, Dan, and it reminds us of what our dear sister Lynn told us all of the time. It was the law is whatever they say it is at any given moment. And so this is just another example of there is no justice. There's just paper that they have, and they will ignore their own papers whenever it's convenient.
Yeah, so this happened while he was in court yesterday on the 14th, right? Unbeknownst to him or his counsel, his cell was emptied of all his belongings, including a bevy of attorney-client privilege documents.
Yes.
Right?
The law is whatever.
The concern here is that the BOP has taken control of sensitive documents without any oversight. And if they chose
yes.
to do so, there is no telling who previewed and potentially copied these documents.
It has
so,
happened
you know,
before.
While trial is going on, you know,
it
he was in court. They decided they were going to move him, so that would be the excuse for emptying his cell. But you can be sure that those documents, they're already lying about them because they're saying, oh, they were only, like, taken for 15 minutes. And Eric said, no, they've been missing for at least 2.5 hours, which made it impossible for him to prepare for today's hearing. His documents and belongings were actually taken in the morning and held all day.
All right. Thank you, Sister Ann. We want to make an announcement once more that there's a protest tomorrow at 11, and we also have a protest over the weekend. We're going to ask Sister Audrey to give that protest information again, supporting the parents. Give us that information one more time, please.
Yes, ma'am. On Saturday at 1 o'clock, Saturday the 19th of March, the Parents to Improve School Transportation will be joined up with the New York City Coalition to finally end mayoral control. They're going to rally across the Brooklyn Bridge to call attention to why we must end mayoral control. And there are a number of resolutions that we had brought up last week, and I didn't want to take up so much time on the show, so I kind of made it brief. So I just want to say mayoral control handcuffs public school communities into silence about our own children's best interests, and we have to stop that once and for all and retake the control of the 32 school districts in our communities and have all the stakeholders at the table. The mayor cannot be making decisions off the cuff as he feels like it every now and then, as you hear him right now in the media, and having these meetings, and the public don't know. These are meetings he just have, you know, spontaneously. He calls his meeting, and the public isn't aware of them. So we are grateful for shows like this, Sister Ralph and Brother Sister Betty and Brother Ralph, that you are calling attention to what is going on. So I will let these folks know that there's going to be a protest tomorrow as well. Thank you so much.
All right, we thank you so much for that update, and we hope you will spread the word about the Jericho program that's coming up April 3rd if we really would like some of your people to come out. Without further ado, we have another poet who's going to take us home with some of her poetry. Sister Nzinga, everybody knows, she's a 24/7 revolutionary. But we also want to toot our own horn a little bit. We hope you will listen in tomorrow on WBAI. The call-in number is 212-209-2877. Again, if you want to listen, 212-209-2877.
That's at 8 p.m. tomorrow, Eastern Standard Time, WBAI 99.5 FM on your radio dial. Please call in and give us more information to a possibly wider audience to hear what you have to say and to listen to what we have, the guests that we have scheduled.
Sister Nzinga, we're so pleased. We know you had a meeting tonight. We're so glad you make it. Take us home with a poem,
yes,
my love.
Thank you for having me. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, so it's going to be nice and short. Good evening to everyone. So why we fight? We fight for the injustices we fought and died to overcome. We fight for our political prisoners serving decades behind bars and who may never, if they had their choice, receive their freedom. We continue to fight because we endless atrocities inflicted upon us here and all across the seas. We fight because we hope that it won't be long before righteousness and justice will supersede wrong. we fight to keep our dignity alive in the face of racism and genocide. With evil that pervades this land and places far too much power into the wrong hands. Simply put, we fight because we must, and we fight and should never give up, because anything less could mean destruction for us. Thank you, and I'm sorry I was so late. So sorry. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I thank the people who have tuned in and all of those who have listened in without having anything to say. Hope to see you tomorrow night, next week, and next Wednesday night. Thanks again. Love you all.
Amen. Love you.
Oh,